Okay, a little hard to say it's smooth with a mask, but okay, try. First, I feel bad. I haven't gone over and said hello to most of the fellows, as I mentioned. I think it was mentioned. I'm trying to keep my distance till at least after Shabbos. For whatever reason, I'm a little extra nervous, maybe more than more people. My wife is doubly extra nervous. It's a matter of shalom bias for sure, that I have to keep it. So, the mice, I apologize that we haven't gotten a chance to say hello. Okay, I want to say I thought a very nice shmooz that is pertinent to the Inyanei Deyoma. In other words, you probably noticed this is not on this week's parsha, which is usually not the case. Usually a shmooz is on the parsha, but I thought that sometimes it's better, sometimes you're stuck to the parsha, you have to stop. But if you're limited to the parsha, then you end up saying something, if you want to speak at Sheva Brachas about the chosin, and you have to say Dvar Torah on the parsha, and the only Dvar Torah you have in the parsha is what a tremendous about chesed, except the chosin is not about chesed. So you have to say it anyway, because what else can you do? It's on the parsha. So sometimes it's better just not to stick to the parsha, and you can say what you want to say. So I took the liberty. This is going to Shmos and Kitisa. It's a certain extent part of it is Rosh Hashiva Shmos. There's maybe three parts. One part's from Rosh Hashiva, other parts are not. But I thought it was very nogea to the beginning of this man. A very important message. Okay, I do want at some future date, Be'ezus Hashem, we have to have maybe at a Musar Vat or a different Vat an explanation of what a Shmooz is all about. I think that's very, very important. Even though I'm sure you all think you know, but just because you all think you know doesn't mean you know. The odds are, believe it or not, that you probably all don't know. But okay. But we have to try. But meanwhile, let's try and say the Shmooz. So there is this, it's called a Das Kanim. Das Kanim Abawitais, this means that these are from Tosis. Just like we have Tosis on the Gemara, we have pieces from Tosis on the Chumash. So this is very early Rishon, obviously Tosis, one of the earliest Rishonim. So we have as follows. In the Cheta Ego, we have a very Munda thing, is that apparently, I don't want to say all, but basically 99 or whatever percent of Klal Yisrael were Nichsho and Cheta Ego. But it seems. It seems a vast majority. Except there's one exception. Okay, besides, we're talking about the male, not the females. Females were different too. But in the Cheta Ego, right, women were different. It says here they give the jewelry, but the men, almost all the men, of all the Shvatim were Nichshol, except for Sheva Levi. Sheva Levi, the few hundred thousand people, not one person was Nichshol. Now it's Mun the thing, right? Why should it be? If it's a Harni Sayin, so you would say, okay, some people will be Nichshol, some not Nichshol, but why is this division? No one in Sheva Levi is Nichshol, and everybody else is Nichshol. So the Das Kanim is bothered by this problem, and he has two answers. His first answer is because Sheva Levi were somehow related to Moshe. Since they were related to Moshe, they therefore felt a more desire to keep Moshe as a manik. So while everyone else thought that Moshe was dead, so what can they do? They didn't want to. They had a greater thrust to say, well, who said Moshe's dead? We're not going to give in. And therefore, they didn't want to give it up because of that, perhaps COVID or whatever, the kirva that they felt toward Moshe. That's his, the kirva, the closeness they felt to Moshe, extra closeness. And the second shot is because Sheva Levi were more into learning. They spent the whole, they learned, they were the Sheva that was dedicated to learning. Okay. So I just want to, what we do very often in a shmooz, there's a thing called koyach hatzir. Koyach hatzir means just to highlight what's going on here. We're talking about one of the most famous, what's called the Koach HaSeiros. Who we're talking about? We're talking here about Klal Yisrael, who were in Mitzrayim. They saw the Ten Makas. They saw Kriyas Yamsuf. They got to the point where the Torah was made on them, V'yaminu b'Hashem u'Moshe Avdo. They just, hate the ego, is a few days after Har Sinai. If you go through the Torah, right? It was basically, 40 days after Har Sinai, then they expected Moshe to come down. They were nichsho in the Chet Ego. So you're talking about people that are on a, should have a tremendous, tremendous level of Yiras Shamayim. Right? You know, you would think, if I saw a miracle, imagine if you saw a miracle. You see the miracles left and right. The 10 Makas was not like a daily event. It lasted a whole year. So you had a year of miracles. You had Kriyas Yamsuf, which in Marzah was, you had a greater Gvira Shechina than Yechezkel ever had. You had Har Sinai, he said, I saw a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kemat, whatever that means. And 40 days later, they're Nichshol. I guess Pshat is, it was a very hard Nisayin. Okay? So a very hard Nisayin. So you're Nichshol. But the question is, so if there's a very hard Nisayin, so you're Nichshol, why do these differences make for a difference? Okay, so you say, well, there's such a thing called the straw that broke the camel's back. But straws don't break a camel's back 100% of the time, right? You don't have a few hundred thousand camels, and every one you put a straw on it, and the camel's back breaks. So these svaras that were added to Sheva Levi, that caused that Sheva Levi were not nichshol. Well, everybody else was nichshol. It's not a straw that broke the camel's back. Okay, they had a drop more. It was obviously something major, major, major. So there's taking each one separately. The second answer of the Das Kainim is that they weren't nichshol because they were into learning. It is a very important yisayin. It's a very good yisayin for the beginning of this man. Because what it basically means is you can see miracles. You can be on the highest level of Dveikis with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't want to be anti-Hasidist, but okay, there'll be an anti-Hasidist moose. You can be sitting there and you can be singing Shira. And right, and Shira was not Shlomo Karbach. Shira was real, real Shira, you know, with the Malachim. You're singing with the Malachim. And you're Dveikis with Hashem. And you're seeing miracles, and you say, Dekeli Vandeyu, wow, I have so much Yiras Shamayim, but you're nichshol. The other guy, he's a Talmid Chacham, no, he's not going to be nichshol. Which means that Torah is what makes a difference. The thing that guarantees us from not being nichshol, obviously Yiras Shamayim is important. We're not belittling Yiras Shamayim. And Torah without Yiras Shamayim doesn't work either. But people think that if I have a good heart and I'm sincere and, you know, and me and God, we're so close. I think about God every day. I talk to Him. We have such an amazing relationship. And, you know, whatever it is, that's enough. Dveikus, relationship, Yiras Shamayim, all those things that the Klal Yisrael had, Kriyas Yamsuf, you know, they saw Hashem, they had Nevuah, without Torah, that level of Torah, they're all being nichshol, come out a few, 600,000 of them, right? And I my numbers were a little off. So Sheva Levi would be not 600,000, would be a 12th of 600,000, would be around 50,000, right? But, and Sheva Levi are not nichshol. It's the thousands, tens of thousands, the Sheva Levi are not being nichshol, right? So the first shmooze, which is why we're here, is because we believe that if you want to go through life has nisyonos, and you don't want to be nichshol, there's only one way, and that's having Torah. That's it. That's the only way. Okay. Then we get to the second shmooze, which is really the main shmooze. This was really a little bit, basically the Rosh Yeshiva shmooze. What's the second, the first shot of the Das Kedem? That they weren't nichshol because they felt a certain closeness to Moshe. Now, how much closeness? Well, he's my, I don't know if any of you people have first, second cousin, third cousin, fourth cousins. You know, if there was a few tens of thousands of people in Sheva Levi, they weren't exactly the closest, you know, cousin. Moshe, you know, I don't know if he went to everyone's bar mitzvah. You know, there was a few thousand, you know, tens of thousands of people in the Shevet. They were related. Okay, they're related somehow or another. We're all from Sheva Levi. Doesn't mean they probably never necessarily met him. I don't know, just because they were. But that difference, that was the difference. That all the people in Sheva Levi were in Nichshol, because they felt the closeness to Moshe. And everybody else, with all their miracles and all their Yiras Shamayim, doesn't hold water. They can't withstand themselves because they don't have that closeness. So Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal said an amazing thing, which I think is really what I wanted to emphasize the most in the beginning of this man, is what you see from here is that when you have a kesher with a Rebbe, that means more almost than anything else. Here, Kriyas Yamsuf doesn't do it. Kabbalas HaTorah doesn't do it. Asara Makis doesn't do it. But I got a little bit more of a kesher with Moshe Rabbeinu. I feel a little closer to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's my second cousin, or third cousin, or fourth cousin. Wow, we're related, you know? We're both from Sheva Levi. I'm so proud. Okay, that does it. Which means that there's certain emotional, you know, besides the Yetzer Hara, you fight him with logic, but there are also certain emotional things that you need to fight the Yetzer Hara. Having a kesher with your Rebbe gives a person an emotional strength. It's always fire. There's such a thing called you have to fight fire with fire. It's not always so easy. You can fight fire with intellect. So you have to have not just intellectual banners. I don't think anyone can have more intellectual basis than Dora Midbar. Intellectually, of course they knew. You're doing a very, you're going to get wiped out like the Mitzrayim. Intellectually, they knew that Hashem's running the world. You don't go against Hashem. They saw Har Sinai. They saw everything. But they didn't. They were missing in somehow the emotional commitment. Sheva Levi, according to the first pshat, had a stronger emotional commitment because they were closer to Moshe. Which means that, and this was, you know, I say this is Shiva Zatzal's point, that when you have a kesher with your Rebbe, a Rebbe is not just someone that you learn Torah from, like a, you know, you can learn from a tape recorder, you can learn from a Zoom. A Rebbe is someone that you develop a kesher with. When you develop a kesher, you feel emotionally connected. The pasuk of teaching a Talmud is learned out from the pasuk Shinanta Nevanecha. Gemara says Shinanta Nevanecha, that's in Kriyat Shema. Vanecha there, the Gemara says, Darshan means the Talmidim. So it means that the relationship, the proper relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud is supposed to be between a child and a father. The Rebbe is supposed to feel he's the father, and the Talmud is supposed to feel he's the son. There's supposed to be that emotional connection. So what I want us to stress, and I think it's so important, in the beginning of this man, we got to do it right. Baruch Hashem, we have a nice size yeshiva. I wouldn't mind it was bigger. But for you guys, it's a very nice size. It's a nice, small, it's not so it's too small. There's enough, you know, there are enough guys to have a nice ruach, and it's a nice number, but there's a real opportunity of getting a kesher. You know, if you had a, you know, it's a number which is small enough, you know, there are opportunities of really getting a kesher. It's also, you know, there's there's many, it's opportunities. Rabbi Winter's first year in the Beis Medrash. Always the first year is always a year that people are much more open for kisharim. I have a much smaller shear than ever before. It definitely lends itself to having a kesher. Rabbi Naiman has a small shear. Rabbi Kier is here. There's so many, there's opportunities of getting kisharim. A person has to realize that this is that one of the differences between base medrash and high school. I don't think high school to some extent is this way too, but it's not just base medrash, it's not just beyond high school. Base medrash is a whole different story. Base medrash is it's on, up to you. And it's a person is he's an adult. It's not someone chasing after you. It's another, but the what's part of the base medrash is that you want to have that kesher with your rabbeim, and the more you have the kesher with the rabbeim, the more you're going to have a successful year. So this is, you know, what I really wanted to emphasize, at least for the first part. So another point I want to make is that what you see in the Das Kedem is that more than all the miracles, and more than Har Sinai, and more than Kriyas Yamsuf, a certain emotional kesher they had with Moshe Rabbeinu, that kept them from doing Averis, which shows the tremendous importance of having an emotional kesher with your Rebbe. Okay, that was, I think, the Rashiva Shmuz. I had a kash on the Shmuz, which I like to develop for another point. The Das Kedem in his first pshat, and he's just saying, the reason why Bnei Yisrael weren't chayta is because they had a kesher with Moshe. But you look at the beginning of the Das Kedem, that's not what Moshe doesn't say that. Moshe says, Mi la Hashem elai. And he explains it, Misha amar b'yiras Hashem. So it doesn't stim. It's almost like a stira from the beginning to the end. Moshe screams, who has Yiras Shamayim? Come with me. And Shevelay says, we're here, but you're not here because of Yiras Shamayim. You don't have, according to the Das Kedem Pshat, they don't have more Yiras Shamayim than anyone else. They just, because they were had this emotional commitment to Moshe. But that's not what Moshe said. Moshe didn't say, come to me, whoever is emotionally committed to me. Moshe said, Mi Hashem Elai, who's committed to Hashem? And he says, Misha Amad B'Yiras Hashem. So Moshe is saying, come whoever is Yiras Shamayim. So then Sheva Levi Shunta came. They had nothing to do with Yiras Shamayim. They didn't have necessarily, according to this Das Kedem, they didn't have more Yiras Shamayim than anyone else. They just had a kesher to Moshe Rabbeinu. But that wasn't more Yiras Shamayim. So how does the first pshat of the Das Kedem at the end stem with the beginning of the Das Kedem? So I have a tifa pshat, which I'm not going to say. We'll save it for some future time, which I think this probably has some very good merit to it. But in a simple pshat, there's a famous Chochmo Musar. Chochmo Musar is the shmuzim from the Simchas Yisrael. The Simchas Yisrael was the altar of Kelm. He was the Rebbe of the altar of Salbaka, which eventually we'll have to figure out the chain. But he's in the chain of the Musar, who is the Rav Yisrael Salanter, then Rav Simchas Yisrael, then the altar of Salbaka, then Rav David, etc. So this is the head of the altar of Kelm, the head of the Yeshiva Kelm. So he asks this kasha, famous kasha, that we say, we know in Pirkei Avos, it says, you're supposed to do mitzvahs because you love Hashem. That's the highest madrega. The highest madrega, maybe it's not for us on our level, but the highest madrega is to serve Hashem because I love Hashem. So why does it say all over in the Torah, it mentions schar? Everything in the Torah taught how you're going to have your fields grow. All the brachas, all the klodas. The Torah keeps on emphasizing physical pleasures. But you're supposed to be doing the mitzvahs for Avos Hashem. Even if you're not doing it for Avos Hashem, at least you're supposed to be doing it for Olam Haba, which is still some kind of spiritual. It's almost like the lowest of the low to do it because I want Olam Hazai, because I want a piece of cheesecake. You know, you're supposed to be doing mitzvahs because if you want Olam Haba, okay, because I appreciate the Olam Haba is a higher existence. So why does the Torah emphasize all the mundane benefits that you're going to get from keeping mitzvah rewards? That's the famous question. So the Chochmo Musar, Simchas Yisrael, says a beautiful thing. And it's a very, 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 very important hashkafa. says a human being is made up of two parts. In the Svarim, they call it the Nevesh HaBahami, and there's the Ruchniest part, which means the Nevesh HaBahami, in other words, is besides, I don't want to call it the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is an oversimplification. Nevesh HaBahami is like, there's a human being is basically like an animal. You have all the, your physical body comes with physical desires, and there's an animalistic part of the human, and then there's the Seichel, which overrides the animalistic desires. It tells them that don't be a fool, don't eat the mouse from the mouse trap because you're gonna get killed. But the Nevesh HaBahami does want to eat the mouse, the cheese. The mouse sees the cheese, the Nevesh HaBahami wants it. The Seichel tells him don't do it, right? You're on a diet, or a doctor tells you you have high cholesterol, whatever it is. You see a piece of cake, your Nevesh HaBahami wants it. Your Nevesh HaBahami wants it, except your Seichel says not to do it. Says the Simcha Zisso, because that's the way that Hashem created the human, it's seemingly inevitable that the human will never be happy. Because I walk in, and there's a piece of cake. Right, the cake is the Yavera here. There's a Taiva. My Nevesh HaBahami says, I want it. My Seichel says, no, it's no good for you. Make you fat, it'll make you sick, it'll make you unhealthy. It's an Aveira, it's going to be metamtim delay, whatever. Okay, so let's assume my Seichel is smarter than my Nevesh HaBahami. So, but now my Nevesh HaBahami didn't get what he wants, so he's walking around depressed. So half of me, or maybe it's a weaker half, a quarter, a third, an eighth, is unhappy. Now, on the other hand, if I go ahead and I indulge, then my Seichel's unhappy. So I got two halves, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, if you want, and whatever I do, one half is going to be unhappy. So how can you ever be happy? Because some part of you is always going to be upset. One part of you is going to feel they didn't get what they wanted, since we're made up of two parts. But that's not good, because you're supposed to be happy. And you're supposed to do mitzvahs b'simcha. So he said, what did Hashem do? Hashem came ahead and did a chap. He said that, Mr. Nevesh HaBahami, you should also be happy with doing mitzvahs. Because what do you want? You want cheesecake? You're going to get more cheesecake if you do mitzvahs. Because you'll get more brachas. Right? You'll get more pleasures in this world. There's a famous Gra, which I love to quote, that Gra says that a tzaddik enjoys every single physical pleasure in this world more than a rasha. A tzaddik enjoys his food, gets better pleasure from food. He gets better pleasure from kavod. He gets better kavod. He gets every pleasure the rasha gets, more enjoyment. Because, and that is what the parsha is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether there's logical reasons or mystical reasons, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's pshat in the Torah. The Torah is saying, I'm not besides Olam Haba. You do the mitzvahs, you get Olam Hazeh. You get a good shidduch. You get a shalom bayis. You get nachas from your children. You get the pleasures that count, that really make you happy. So it's the pasuk is stressing Olam Hazeh. Not because that's why you're supposed to be doing the mitzvahs. You're supposed to be doing the mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu is doing the mitzvahs because of Avas Hashem. But how does Moshe Rabbeinu appease his Yetzirah that his Yetzirah won't be grumpy? Because he doesn't want to be one part grumpy. He wants to be 100% besimcha. So by telling the Yetzirah, this is good for you too. It's good for the Yetzirah. It's good for everybody. Everybody's better off this way. You know, it's an investment. Right now, we don't eat this cupcake today, but we'll have two cupcakes tomorrow. So you should be happy. That's what the Simchas Yisrael says. So I think that's the simple shot over here. Of course, the reason why Sheva Levi didn't go ahead and do the Cheta Ego is not because, oh, Moshe is our good friend. The reason why is because they had Yiras Shamayim. But the all Klai Yisrael also had Yiras Shamayim. Except the Yiras Shamayim of all Klai Yisrael was knocked out, was because of their desire. There was some taiva or whatever it was of to do the chayta ego. There was some taiva in having a different manig, whatever, because whatever, we're not so clear what that meant, what the taiva of Avodah Zarah is, what the taiva of having a different manig, but whatever it was, there was a certain taiva that they had. So sometimes the taiva blinds you and makes you forget about your Yerush Shamayim. It makes you act irrationally. You just become focused on your taiva and you forget everything else. Because Sheva Levi had this closer tie to Moshe, they were able to negate the taiva. Once they negated the taiva, then they did it because of Yerush Shamayim. It's not just that when you negate the taiva, you do it because of this reason that you're negating the taiva. This is only used to negate the taiva. And then you end up doing it really because of Yerush Shamayim. Okay, so what is the point that I want to say? I think I just want to summarize, because I think there's some very important points. I think I want to summarize, and what is the goal of this year? The goal of this year is Yerush Shamayim, is Ruchnius, is growth. But how do we get there? We get there by learning Torah. That was the first shmooze. We get there by having a close kashrut with our Rebbeim. That was the second shmooze. And we get there by being happy. It's a very, very important thing. That's what this Chachma Musar is saying. That you need happiness in this world to get the Yetzirah off your back so that you can go ahead and do what's right. So it's very important. Besides, people don't sometimes realize it. They think that yeshiva, I always tell Mr. Stuhl that he's the most important person in the yeshiva. Okay, when the guys have a good meal, then they learn better. When they have a good cake break, they learn better. So we have to go ahead. It's not, obviously, it's trivial. It's trivial. Having a sati esev, v'sotchen, v'techa, v'chalta, zavota is trivial. But the Torah emphasizes it because people need it. Moshe Rabbeinu needed it. The Torah is not written for us. The Torah is written for Moshe Rabbeinu. According to Simchas Iso, Moshe Rabbeinu needed to be able to tell his Yetzirah that's good for you too. So we need that too. We need also, besides learning, and besides the Kesher with our Rabbeim, which are the Iker, those are the Iker and Ruchnias, but we also need the Tufel too. Because when you have the Tufel, that allows, that puts the Yetzirah, and it puts them to sleep, keeps them off your neck. Say, don't bother me. You know, when you want to decide, should I stay in yeshiva? Well, I mean, yeshiva is the greatest time in the world. It's the greatest place in the world. Where else would you want to be except in yeshiva? So you put the Yetzirah, you get rid of him. And then you're able to learn the Shem Shemaim. So it's parsh important too. Even though we're all tzaddikim, I'm sure, and we're all, but it's important also, we have to make sure that we have to have a ruach of happiness and simcha in the yeshiva. And part of what makes happiness and simcha is an achrayus on the guys. It's, you know, the perhaps the kesher with the rabbeim, a large part is an achrayus on the rabbeim, teaching Torah to some extent it's on the rabbeim, but the ruach, the happiness of the ruach of the yeshiva, it really comes from the fellows. So that also we want to push the guys. This is, in a certain sense, your Harbatzah Torah. First of all, one thing for sure, there should be tremendous achdus in the yeshiva. There should be no one that feels left out. Feeling left out is one of the most depressing things. Everybody else is doing something except for me. You know, and I know from experience, from talking to people, and whatever, from sometimes even my own experience, because everyone sometimes gets left out. It's a very depressing thing. So please, no, we don't want any cliques. Even if you came together from high school and you know each other, be open, make new friends. It's just, we're not such a big yeshiva. We should have access. Everyone should be friends together. Everyone should be trying. That's part of the ruchnius. That's what makes the yeshiva a great yeshiva, which will make great success in ruchnius, which is what we want. If we have achdus, if we have a good ruach, if we have friendship, if people are positive, happy, that's what's going to make the yeshiva. So the three things that we come out is we have to have Torah, we have to have a good Kashmir Arbeim, and we have to have a Simchas Achayim, which with them together, B'ezras Hashem, will have a good and Hatzlacha Tikkun Yer.